Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
Sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 552 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is November 10th, 2019, and we stream every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. So check yourself, get on there, listen to us live. If you can't listen to us live, that is totally okay. We do put forward an audio version of the podcast. You can do that on pretty much any kind of iOS, Stitcher, you name it, it'll be there. We are on twitch.tv, we are on mixer.com, we are on youtube.com. All you have to do is put in /OC podcast. You will find us, watch us live, take part. It's fun. Hey, my name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And with me today, it is a tight-knit group, small but vastly knowledgeable about all things that are irrelevant. Starting off, we have Kermit the Frog in a tin can, Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy. How are you? That's me, GamerGirl27. That's Twitter. That's pretty much everything. There's some variation at PlayStation, but I'm sure you'll find me. So, yeah, here we are. I apologize for the cold, so that's my nephew's fault. So
blame the nephew or Mark. Either way. Hey, also on the podcast.
It's always a kid's fault.
Yeah. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, kids are just walking biohazards. Every time they get a cold, we always pass it on to little bastards.
This is the first year I got my flu shot. I just did it because I was there. I took my son in to get his flu shot, and the nurse is like, "Do you want your flu shot?" And I was like, "Yeah, fine. I'll get my flu shot."
She's going to twist my arm, you know.
But you know the funny thing? So I was expecting like blood draw, like levels of needle.
Oh, no, it's all a tiny thing, isn't it?
I know. It's just like a little, it's like a prick and it's done. It's like, oh, okay. Yes, that was innocent enough.
Nothing to it.
Yeah. But anyway, now that we've caught up on our flu shot situation, by the way, flu shot? Yes, no, maybe so?
No
flu shot?
I've had it the last 2 years, and the last 2 years I've had flu really bad. So I'm in two minds because we get it through work anyway. So, I don't know yet. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know because the last time I got the flu was in the middle of July when it was like 1,000 degrees in the sun. So, I'm thinking, you know what, a flu shot in the winter is probably not going to help me much. So,
okay.
So,
fair enough. No, I hear you. I usually don't get them. So, it was just one of those things where I was kind of guilted into it. You know. But alas.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Hey, let's talk about birthdays. We've got birthdays. We have a birthday for Katie Stubbs. She's turning 21. No, actually 25. We could actually say this one. This is a nice young birthday.
Yeah.
Well done, Katie. And then Stu Lucky, sorry, Stu. But he had his birthday yesterday, I believe. Is that yesterday or is that the next Saturday? I don't know. I'm trying to read our notes. They're not terribly clear to me because I'm old and feeble.
How old is Stu going to be? 65, you reckon?
Actually, I heard it's 66.
All right, this year. I was close.
It's just, he's just off by a year, Mark. Yeah. He doesn't look a day over 72, though, so it's all good.
There you go.
But yeah, no. Happy birthday to the two of them, one getting older by the day, one getting younger by the minute. And to that we say,
happy birthday to you.
Enough of that shit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's delve into some story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, we're going to start this off by actually playing a little game of I Spy. This is based off of me and my vision and camera vision. I spy something that is orange. Any guesses? You're supposed to, this is like, yeah, okay, orange. Yes. I spy something fluffy and orange. I just
that
noticed
would be Chief.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Crawling up in the background.
Yeah. Yep, that's Chief.
I couldn't see him a tiny little thing. I've just looked on the big monitor. I've just seen him. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Okay, let's get into...
Co-pilot.
Yes, let's get into actual story time. Kim, why don't we start you off? Let's talk about your week.
Well, other than, as you can plainly hear, the snot-covered ninja of illness is caught up with me. So I've been dealing with that. I think I got it from Colton because he was cold. I had a cold like 2 weeks ago. So you know how that works. They get a cold and it could be a while and then boom, you've got it. So I'm dealing with that. Of course, we had Extra Life this past weekend and I wasn't on because I was asleep. Sorry about that. And it was good. You know, we all pretty much hung out and, you know, had a good time. So, I mean, y'all didn't kill me by the end of the night. So that was good. although I'm sure you wanted to. Let's see. Yeah, Extra Life was good.
You were getting quiet towards the end of the night. That's always the telltale sign of when you're getting tired, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you went extra quiet at one point, and possibly I might have heard there might be a dozing off moment from you.
Might have been some snoring,
Possibly caught on audio. I'm just saying.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
My stream, it might be there, but you quickly came back around, so we can't verify that you actually fell asleep.
But, I made it the full 24 hours. Well, if you don't count the time change, I made the full, 24 hours.
You still did 24 hours, yeah.
Actually, no, you have to count the time change because, I mean, the time change doesn't matter. You did 24 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The notion of I did 25 hours, look, if you did 25 hours for Extra Life, congratulations to you.
Kudos.
Knock yourself out. Yeah, you get a brownie point, and an imaginary pin because it doesn't matter. It was 24 hours. That was the requirement, 24 hours. So there you
go. That's it. Yeah. You're so, good. I mean, it was good. I ended up raising $300 altogether, so I'm pretty tickled with that. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, right. Pretty good for me. And other than that, this past Friday, I went to an Aaron Lewis concert. That's right. The Hermit got out of her cave. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was good. It started at 8. We didn't end up finally getting out of there till 11. And then we didn't get home till midnight, and then I didn't – well, let's see. No, we got out of there at 11, and by the time we left town, it was midnight because I didn't get home till 1 o'clock, and I didn't get home to bed till 1:30. So it made for a rather short day, I guess, because I was up again at 5:30. So,
for someone in the UK, who is Aaron Lewis?
You might know him better because –
Wait.
Yes?
For somebody in the U.S., who is Aaron Lewis?
All right, you might know him better because he was the lead singer for Stained. It was a rock band here a few years ago. I think they're still around. And right now he's doing like the outlaw country thing, which is sort of better than some of the other crap on the radio nowadays, but whatever. And it wasn't bad. I went into it kind of not really listening to him, the stuff he does now, so I kind of was like, okay, whatever. I was more into the rock band that he was in. But he did really well, and he played some of the rock songs that he put out with his band over the last few years, so that was really cool for me. And, I'd go again. So,
right.
You know, if you like that sort of thing, check him out. And if maybe you don't think his country phase is for you, like I said, Stained is out there, and they're pretty good. So it was fun. I hadn't been to a concert in, shit, I don't even remember how long. So it was kind of nice. Me and my brother and my sister-in-law all went up there. So, and it was an indoor concert, which was a little weird because I'm used to going to outdoor ones.
It wasn't in a barn then with a load of hay.
Yeah, no.
That's how we imagine country music over.
No. I mean, there's some that are probably that way, but no, this one wasn't. And it was weird because I'd see people walking around with like popcorn and nachos. And for me, whenever I went to a concert, you'd see them walk around with beer and soda and that sort of thing.
Right.
But I've never seen anybody, unless it's like a state fair sort of thing, but I have never seen anybody walk around with popcorn and nachos at a concert. That was just strange for me. Yeah. So, yeah. And the $40 t-shirt. Can't forget about the $40 t-shirt.
No.
I swear,
those
they get
important.
You at the merch table every time. So, yeah.
Oh, big time. Big time.
So that was all pretty right. much it for me. So.
Okay. Yeah. Mark, what about you? What's been going on your side of the pond?
Really quiet week, really. Just to touch on, I tried to cover most of Extra Life last week with Robin, but I think Robin was in supersonic mode last week and he just flew through the podcast. I think it was just a bit of a blur for me. But I just want to add that the past week, after Extra Life, I've been getting donations still, and I've gone from £201 to £291. So it's just been amazing. So I've had nearly 100 quid come in this past week after the event. So thank you to everyone who's donated. It's just been amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, work and just carrying on, sort of like a bit more work in the man cave, but yeah, getting there slowly.
All right, all right. I see you have your special curtains up for the midnight hour.
Mia's curtains with the stars and moons on.
Just have the disco ball drop down, the mood lighting come in.
No, but I've got a big unicorn on the wall right in front of me, and it says "Believe in Magic" and there's a rainbow.
I think the unicorn needs to stay. By the way, I think you need to like the unicorn.
And there's some love hearts in the corner.
I almost think you have to redo the direction of the man cave and have the unicorn behind you.
Because
I definitely want to see "Believe in Magic" with a unicorn sitting right behind you. By the way, Kim, real quickly, did we cover the update on we obviously haven't, because I mean this is the first show you've been on in November. Mm-hmm. This month's fireman with Kat.
It is Matt.
Matt
with a whole bunch of cats, yeah. So
Matt with a lot of pussy. Okay. All right.
Matt with a bunch of pussy, yep.
Double all right. Pussy.
There you go. All right. I have had an exceptionally busy it's been a busy month and a half, I'm not going to lie. Ever since I went to the UK, it was crazy. I came back from the UK the very next week. My wife left for a week. Kind of doing solo dad duty for a week. And then she came back. We had Halloween, which, of course, we do tend to go a little bit all out. And so we made the best work we could do with our Halloween. I shared some pictures with you guys of our Halloween costumes. They turned out surprisingly good. We went with the zombie theme. I didn't know how they were going to be, but we ended up getting into using liquid latex. And so we had like prosthetics and stuff on our faces, and it turned out great. So my wife in particular was especially horrifying. And that's all I was
saying. In a good
way,
right?
In a good way. Absolutely. In a good way. And usually it's my job to scare the crap out of kids. It was her job at this time to scare the crap out of kids. And then, so of course, Halloween happens. Then that weekend, Extra Life hit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I left the very next Monday morning. I got on a plane and I went to Las Vegas for 3 days. Then I flew from Las Vegas to New York for another day and a meeting with a client. And then I flew back from New York on Thursday night. And this is the first weekend I've haven't felt the need that I need to pack something. So that's been surprisingly refreshing. But yeah, so I'm back. Las Vegas is Las Vegas. It never ceases to amaze me. There was a work networking party put on by one of the companies that was at the show. We went to it. It was at 11 p.m. at night.
Is that when you sent us that picture of that dancer?
Yes.
Nice picture.
It was at it was a casino called the Cosmopolitan, and it was in a bar nightclub called Mystique. And let's just say the music was exceptionally loud. Although they had people from the conference there, they seemed to be in the minority. It was pretty much just a nightclub. And they, of course, had all the dancers up behind the bar in cages, that kind of thing, which just amazed and amused me all in the same breath that anybody from the conference thought this was going to be a good place to throw a networking party, because there was no networking to be done. You could barely hear somebody like 2 inches from your ear. So it was an excuse to go get drunk. And we got free cocktails, which I wasn't going to complain about. So,
well, there you go.
Let's see, just a couple real quick little entertainment things, because I did have a lot of time on my hand traveling. I listened to an audiobook called, it's the Extinction Shadow series, and I listened to the Dark Age book one. So this actually is a second series of books in the Extinction Shadow series. God, that's hard for me to say.
Wow.
It's done by R.C. Bray, who's one of kind of our favorite...
Robin's in love with that guy.
he's fantastic. I mean, honestly, when you want to listen to something that has just really good narrative acting, and he does a good job of kind of acting the parts of different characters, even female characters, he's able to convey kind of a female sense to them, which is it's difficult sometimes for guys to do. Anyway, it's a good book. It's a very zombie-esque post-apocalyptic kind of book, but it's not dealing with zombies. So I will just say that. Anyway, enjoy it. It's got the military tones. It's about following a spec ops group, and I think they're actually called the Ghosts, which goes in themes with other games we played. Mm-hmm. It's following kind of this situation of basically a plague has been transforming, I want to say humans, but into what they call variants. And it's in a sense kind of a emerging new breed of humanoid creatures on Earth that have intelligence behind them. And so it's becoming in a sense kind of a battle for survival on both sides of it. So it's good stuff. It's got the kind of technical chops too. So, you know, they talk about equipment. They talk very kind of military tones, if you will, at times. And it works. It works very well. I also listened to the latest Expeditionary Force book, Armageddon. That just came out. That's about our favorite AI character, Skippy. So if you've ever seen or heard of these book series, they're fantastic. A lot of good humor in it, a lot of sarcastic humor. This is where the references to stupid monkeys comes into play, because Skippy, as he is affectionately called, is a super AI from a alien intelligence, and he's been found by humans, and he talks about humans and calls them stupid, flea-bitten monkeys. And so that's us. We are stupid, flea-bit monkeys.
Yeah, you and Robin are always calling us monkeys, and that's the reference, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that is the reference, absolutely. And then the last entertainment aspect, on my flight back from New York, I had expected to be able to watch live TV, because pretty much all the airlines now offer live TV viewing. You know, you can watch it on your device or back a seat, that kind of thing. And I saw United had TV and they had movies. And so I was like, oh, sweet. I'll watch my football game. I'm fly back, watch the Chargers play the Raiders, which now I'm happy I didn't watch. But turns out they didn't have live TV. It was just recorded TV. And so then I was like, ah, crap, because I've been doing so much flying and spent so much time flying of late that I've seen all the movies I really want to see on that are being offered by the airlines for the past month. So I was kind of like, well, what am I going to watch? And then I was flipping through the TV area, and I came across Chernobyl.
That was a great series. And
I binge-watched the entire series on my flight back.
Wow. Hey, it's good, isn't it? It's really good.
Yeah, it was really good. Shocking.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's some creative licensing happening within it, obviously. Yeah. But
I've got a fun fact for you.
Yeah.
True fact. When they first started filming, it was a lot of, obviously, English actors in there. They did put on Russian accents, but they overhammed the Russian accents that much. The director says, fuck that, just stick to your normal accent and just let people's imaginations take over.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you say that, because when I first started listening to it, I was like,
"Yeah, it's weird,
man, these guys are all English. They're not Russian." By the end of it, though, it didn't matter.
No.
And, but it was a fantastic series, and just really eye-opening about an event that was potentially, I mean, it was catastrophic, but it was potentially catastrophic for the world.
Mm. It's still feeling the effects now, aren't we?
Across
a lot of that sort of like Eastern European part.
Yeah. And it's scary to think how close we came to being even that much worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How many people sacrifice themselves as well to contain it?
According to official Russian documentation, only 31 people died.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to get into Extra Life in just a moment. We'll talk about that. First, I'm going to talk about the Elite 2 controller. Ooh. I got it. Yeah. It arrived the day I left, yeah, which sucked. but I finally was able to unpack it and get my hands on with it. So first impressions are it is an upgrade over the original Elite. And I know people are like, oh, well, obviously it's the Elite 2. Sometimes companies make steps back. You know, they don't necessarily do good upgrades. This time, it feels really good. On the previous Elite controller, they had kind of this texturized rubber grip
on
the bottom
half. Mine came off in no time at all.
Yeah, yeah. Mine started coming off too. Fun fact, you can super glue that back down, and it holds. So that's what I did to alleviate that problem on mine. But this time around, that textured rubber grip wraps around onto the top side as well. So on the previous controller, it was really only on the bottom half of the kind of where the handles were. Now it wraps around to all the way around up into the top area. Curiously, they only give you one longer stick. Before they gave you two, but I guess their research showed that people only tend to use one at a time.
Yeah, I did that, to be honest. Racing games, I used the longer stick on the left one for steering.
Right.
And in shooters, I used it on the right one for aiming.
That's precisely what I do. Yeah. And so they didn't include the two. They included just two smaller ones and then the rounded one.
So will your stick from the Series 1 fit the same?
That's a good question. I think so. I believe so. I have not double-checked that yet, though. I thought about that, and I didn't check it. They do have tension control now on the sticks. Yeah. So there's a little tool that you can use to twerk it. You can tweak the tension. And then I guess there's three different tension settings. One is it comes out for the same tension as the regular Xbox One controllers. Then you can go all the way down to the other side of it, which is 360 controller tension. And then there's a halfway in between setting. So if you really like the way the 360 controller sticks felt more than the Xbox One controller, you can set that up. It does have an internal battery. So far, I charged it up day one, which was Thursday. I've been playing with it quite a bit. I have not seen the battery actually dip at all. So I've probably put in a good 20 plus hours so far on that controller. And the battery on the screen, when I'm looking at the Xbox One on screen, still shows a full charge level. Mm-hmm. I know they previously said it was going to be 40 plus hours of battery life. Mm-hmm. There was hints by some executives that the plus part of that was pretty accurate, that it was well past 40 hours of battery life, but they didn't want to put it on paper being more than that, just in case it didn't last more than 40 hours. So I'm kind of curious to see how long it takes me before I have to recharge it. I will keep track of that. Some of the other quality of life changes that I think are, again, nice touches. The trigger locks, previously you had the ability to do, you know, normal throw where the trigger would, you know, kind of have a full length of being able to go, you know, up and down. And then you had a short throw. Now you have short, medium, and long. You also have three presets. So before with the Xbox One Elite controller, you only had two presets. Now you have three presets. And on the presets button, you also, in a sense, kind of get a fourth one, which is basically
the default,
which is turning it off.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so if you have all – so there's little bars. One bar is the first preset. Two bars lit is the second preset. Three bars lit is your third preset. And then if you hit it again, they all go dark. And that's default, which means all of the paddles underneath are turned off.
It's just like a standard controller.
Yeah, just like a standard controller at that point. Which, you know, if you're watching TV or something like that or a video, having those paddles on – is a pain in the ass because inevitably you put it down on something, the paddle bumps, and something happens. So,
yep.
Outside of that, the bumpers are so much better. They made a nice improvement on the actual bumper buttons. to where they just are comfortable. They are easy to push in. And then about the only other thing is the Xbox Joule button. Previously, it felt kind of analog, like you would depress it in, and you never really got any kind of clicking sound or anything. It just, you would depress and hold it in and let go, and it would start it up. This is actually a click.
All right.
An audible click sound happens when you push it in and hold it down. And so, I mean, that's pretty much it. Outside of that, it works.
That's the important thing.
That is the important thing. Actually, no, Kim. The important thing is what's coming next. So, Extra Life. Yeah. Every year I do a $60 Amazon gift card giveaway for entering into the donation. All you have to do is donate at least $20 to my Extra Life page, and your name gets automatically added into my donation page, and donation drawing, I should say. So it's a minimum $20. And we had quite a few people. I want to actually run through real fast before we make the announcement. I'm going to give everybody a shout out. Unfortunately, there are a couple names in here that are anonymous. I'm happy to say that those individuals did not impact the drawing because of where the number that I selected, the random number generated was in the line of succession, if you will, of the donations. But Extra Life had this DDoS attack. You guys talked about it last week. So we ended up getting a couple donations coming through. I think it was like the Monday after Extra Life, mm-hmm. if I remember. They were anonymous. And we're like, okay, what's going on? You know, suddenly just random anonymous donations. But unfortunately, those names, they couldn't retrieve because of the at the time the donations were being given, the DDoS attack was hitting and the site was actually kind of shutting down, so to speak. So needless to say, there are some anonymous names. I won't read them out, obviously. But here we go. Shout outs. Mike Chin, Louis Raimondo, Mr. Robin Hart, Robin Tate. He said Robin the Brave, and I thought Braveheart. then we had Cerberus. We had the DeLacy family. We had the Lee family. We had Mark Wright. We had Dave Parofalo. We had Kim Woods. We had John McCormick. We had Brad and Amy Sutton. Joanne Hobbs, Troy and DJ, Marilyn Tona, Frank Giel, Wendy M., Mike, Sheree, and Austin. And going to page two, Matt Empower 343. We had the Cleva family of San Jose. We had Janice, and we had Christopher Matthew, all of whom, outside of the anonymous people, also gave money. And a huge thank you to everybody who did this. You guys helped me crush my goal this year. I had a goal of $1,000. I raised $2,050, so just a monumental showing of support, which I really appreciate. Through the magic of random number generators, this year's Extra Life. Yes, please, drum roll.
All right, go on. I'll let you do your build up, and I'll do drum roll.
Okay, yeah. So this year's Extra Life winner for a $60 Amazon gift card is. Miss Kim Woods.
Wow.
Holy shit, really?
Yes, wow. Yes, really. Yeah. So,
awesome.
Yeah, and being on the podcast does not keep you from winning this. So there you go. Congratulations. I will be sending you a $60 Amazon gift card. So I was excited. I was excited for you. And again, just super thrilled. I cannot say thank you enough to everybody. Thank you all for the donations. You know, it's a great charity. And, mm-hmm. This year they crushed it. I think they raised over $9 million at least through the weekend. So, obviously they've got more coming in. So it'll be interesting to see where it all finally tallies out. But it's been an amazing Extra Life once again.
Indeed.
Okay. I think that's it for story time. So let's go talk about some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, Kim. Well, now that you are $60 richer with Amazon, it's probably good that you know what games are coming out, what freebies are coming out. So this way you don't spend money on the freebies. You hold off and you wait for something you have to pay for. So why don't you walk us through what is coming out for November?
Alrighty. Your games with gold for November are Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, available November 1st through the 30th on Xbox One, of course. The Final Station, available November 16th to December 15th on Xbox One. Star Wars Jedi Starfighter. Almost for a minute there, I thought that said Jedi Slaughter, and I'm like, wait, that's not right. Anyway.
That would be a cool game.
Jedi Slaughter. Right?
Jedi Starfighter, available November 1st through the 15th. So you better be getting that one pretty soon. It's just about gone. Joyride Turbo, available November 16th through the 30th on Xbox One and the 360. And your PlayStation Plus for November are Neo and Outlast 2. Which I downloaded both. I'll never play Outlast 2 because I'm a chicken shit. But hey, it's free. Yeah. Your Twitch Prime games for October are Darksiders 2.
Technically that's October. Yeah.
Are they last months? Have we not updated them?
They might be last months. It may not have been updated. I don't know. So why don't we hold off?
We don't know what your Twitch games are, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, but what we do know is what we have played. So, Kim, what have you played?
Well, I haven't really played much this week, but for Extra Life, I played some Red Dead 2. And we also played Red Dead Online, which was stupid funny. So we'll have to do that again. I played After Party, and I'm not sure on After Party. I mean, I've told people it's funny, and it is funny, but I'm not exactly sure where I'm at with this game. I may have to put it away for a while and come back.
Kim, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. So that's one of the games I did play so far this past weekend. And just a little bit, I struggled getting into it during Extra Life. I came back, fired it back up. I'm with you. I like the idea. I like some of what the humor is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel nearly as interesting to me as Oxen Party felt. Oxen Free. That had that kind of Goonies vibe to it and feel. And this, I don't know. I don't have investment in it, and I don't know why.
I'm kind of same here. I liked playing beer pong with the demon and stuff like that, but some of this extra long, I don't know, stuff they have you do in between all of that, it doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to shelve that one. It is, because...
We're both really excited for this game.
Yeah, Oxenfree was so good, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I know, right? And I think the deal with Oxenfree, it kind of grabbed you pretty much from the get-go.
Yeah.
Where this, I mean, I realized the start of it that they're dead and whatever, and what you have to do. But nothing out there was really grabbing me, making me want to figure out how we're supposed to, you know, do whatever. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to have to just shelve it, I guess, and hopefully at some point I'll come back to it and I'll be like, okay, now it's got me, because right now it hasn't. So other than that, Modern Warfare, we got to try the cross play out, and I'm very tickled that it works, and it works,
yes,
you know, fairly well. We had some hiccups, but I mean, it works really well, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so. I think some of the hiccups, and we might as well talk about this right now. I have all three of us chime in on this, because we've all three been playing Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. We all three have played cross-play with PlayStation players. And I think, did we have our first PC player the other day? Who was it that was playing on PC?
Not sure.
I thought I saw somebody that had the tower. Duke is playing it on PC.
Yeah, but he's not managed to get a game with us yet. I think there was someone in the lobby with the tower symbol, but no one we knew.
Right. But so I think that the biggest challenge we had was figuring out how or what we needed to do to make party chat work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality was, it was actually pretty simple. It was just, don't be in your own service chat. You drop into the game chat, you form your party, and for the most part, it works. Mark, I know you had a little bit of a hiccup yesterday with the server, I guess, not wanting to give you audio.
Yeah. And I know later on at night, I can't remember, it might be Pilch or someone else, that they were having server issues that night as well. But apart from that, it worked really, really well.
And we should qualify, really well. Don't mistake that for... good quality.
No, it's very much like an old 70s telephone type quality of call, but it works. Mm-hmm. It's functional. What I did is I go on to the audio options and I just mute everyone except Party, so I can't hear all the randos playing the music and calling your mum gay and everything. So I can just hear the party, people in our party, so that seems to work well.
Yeah, and again, when you are in crossplay chat using the game's chat system, it has very much a tinny sound to it. I think I kind of equate it almost back to like the PS2 days when they first were coming out with audio. You know, there's no bass to it. It feels very, very much like you're on, you know, old tech.
Yeah.
But again, it works. Works across all platforms.
That's it. And so the fact that I don't have to buy two games to play with all of my friends is awesome. So, you know.
And the main thing is the game works cross-platform flawlessly. We didn't have anyone with any major issues, no lagging or anything. Seems to work very well. Partying up seems pretty easy enough.
Yeah. It works. And they also have a chat feature, which is nice. So let's say I'm on and I see Sarah is on her PlayStation and she's in Call of Duty. You can see with your Activision account, because that's how Activision does the crossplay. They link it to your Activision account as opposed to your Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus account. Or from a Steam standpoint, it's still going to be Activision account. But you use your Activision ID, and so you can see other people on other platforms if they're online playing. Mm-hmm. And then you can send them a chat message, and it's strictly text. But you can text them through the system to let them know, hey, we're playing, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, let's party up. I thought that was smart, but it's not super like prominent. So it's easy to miss those notifications if you don't know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you feel, Kim, about the actual game?
Well, you know, playing with you guys, it was fun. Now, if I was playing with a bunch of randoms, maybe not. But then I'm that way with a lot of shooters anyway. But I heard the campaign's good. I haven't got started on it yet, but I hear a lot of people are glowing about the campaign, even though that it's short, that it's really, really good. So I'm tickled. I like Kill Confirmed. I always did. I don't know why. So, you know, I'm happy that we finally have a game that, you know, all of my friends, whether they're Xbox or the PlayStation, we can, you know, PC, whatever, we can all play now. So, you know, I'm tickled. That's why I shelled out my $60.
Yeah, it does feel like we're at like a kind of a generational moment of crossplay becoming an actual like bona fide thing. It was kind of a novelty, you know, just a few months back where it was like, well, is this really going to take off or not? And I feel like this game has just like kicked the door wide open and said, it's here. Crossplay is here and it's not going to leave. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah, same here. I'm hoping this is the way we go forward on this, and more games will get into this. So, I mean, not only will it be cheaper on my pocketbook, but, you know, it'll be nice. I don't have to buy two different games. There are games for two different systems to play with the people I want to play with. So, that's nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mark, what are your thoughts on the game?
Well, multiplayer side, I've not properly played a Call of Duty for quite a while now. So stuff like Kill Confirmed are quite new to me because I've not really played the last few iterations, and I really like Kill Confirmed. I love the bit where you have to actually get the tags and you can rescue someone's tags to deny the kill. Domination we've been playing a lot of, which is really good. So yeah, the multiplayer is pretty good. I'm liking it. I don't suck as bad as I thought I would, but it is a lot of fast, frantic action. You do die a lot. And if you're up against a good team, which we found out last night, you do get annihilated.
You can, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, really good. The campaign, I love the campaign. I finished it. It is short, but I think it's an ideal length. I really enjoyed the campaign. Bloody hell, Kim. The visuals are really good. There's some really good missions in it. I love the one in the house. Is it called Close House or something? Where you have to search house room by room. Yeah, that was really good. I liked the bit where you you control, I don't know if it's if you're in a plane or a helicopter, but you're shooting down on people. That was really cool. There's a lot of really good parts in that. So, yeah, excellent so far. Which, I'm shocked I'm saying that for a Call of Duty game.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I feel very much the same way. I think this is probably the best Call of Duty campaign I think I've ever played. I really liked this campaign. Mm. I thought it was, there might have been a couple moments where I was like, okay. Mm. I'll do a little suspension of belief because this is how they kind of make the story move forward a little bit. But but overall, really well voice acted,
well
directed.
The motion capture and the facial animations are just outstanding. Yeah,
graphically, it I think is probably the best looking game this year. I think visually, especially in the cutscenes, it's like movie quality. To be honest, and gameplay wise, again, well paced on the campaign side. On the multiplayer side, they have some balancing issues still. There's still, the shotguns, they will forever be overpowered, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a game mode that if you haven't played it, it's a duo game mode called Gunfight.
Yeah.
I love Gunfight. It is just so much fun. So you start out the game, it's basically a best of seven series of quick skirmishes, 2-on-2. It might do 3-on-3. I don't know, but I think it's just 2-on-2. And it basically will randomize the guns that you get. So you might start off with shotguns, but then after two rounds, it'll change up and give you new weapons, and it might just be pistols and hands, so it's like you've got your pistol and nothing else. Then two more rounds, and it goes to an Uzi or something, and so it's constantly switching up the weapons that you're using, but it's the same map every time. And so it'll alternate sides a couple times. So you'll flip flop back and forth between, which side you start on, but the weapons are always changing. So you never feel like somebody has an advantage because they've been playing the game longer. And so they've got all these attachments on it. Everybody has the same weapon. And so it just becomes a game of strategy and skill, I mean, at the end of the day. So sometimes you do really well. Sometimes you'll get your ass handed to you. But it's over pretty quick, too. So it's not like a big time investment. Anyway, really enjoyable.
Pilcher's just put in the chat, Cyber Attack and Kill Confirm are his favorite modes. But we tried Cyber Attack for the first time last night. I didn't get on with it at all, but maybe because it was new to us, we didn't know the map, and the team we're playing at were good at that game mode.
Yeah. So Cyber Attack reminds me very much of Plant the Bomb. Search and Destroy, except for instead of one team starting with the suitcase, the bomb, this time around, it's you both have to rush to the bomb. And then whoever gets the bomb first, then they go to try and plant the bomb, so to speak. I don't know. I'm still with you, Marker, right there. I think our experience was just bad. We got our asses handed.
It was a sniper camping fest, in my view. Everyone were in building windows, just watching out. And we were just used to playing all out balls to the wall, sort of like Kill Confirmed and Team Deathmatch. So we were just running around like idiots, just getting shot like hell, but...
Pretty much.
Yeah. And he just mentioned Ground War. We tried that, didn't we, Greg? Ground War.
We did try Ground War.
Yeah, that's a bit insane as well. The vehicles in it, the tanks and everything.
Yeah.
It's fun, though.
It's not quite... So the funny thing. So in Cyber War, or Cyber Attack, whatever it's called, you can actually, if you get killed, you can still get revived.
Yeah.
So players can come to your dead body and in a sense revive you, as long as, you have somebody standing. Ground War, which is the big team, team based with vehicles, is very much kind of like Battlefield, does not have any reviving. And I feel like that's missing. Because the one thing I love about those big Battlefield experiences is you can also have somebody that plays the role of quote-unquote a medic.
Yeah.
And your job is going around helping your teammates, and they get down on health, you revive them, you pick them back up. And here, it felt like that might just make the game just a little bit better if you had the ability to revive. So I wasn't as big a fan of Ground War as I thought it was going to be.
They did use the trait in Battlefield where you can spawn on your squad mates,
yes,
which is nice.
Yeah, I think they're trying their best to be Battlefield with that mode. It just doesn't still quite feel like Battlefield. I think Kill Confirmed is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then Domination.
Yeah.
And Headquarters, those are kind of, I think, my three most favorites. And then probably Team Deathmatch, you know, and Gunfight. Gunfight also in there. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Call of Duty. It's good. Surprisingly good. I just was talking to my neighbor. I told him he had to buy it. Going to make everybody buy it just because. All right. Mark. Breakpoint.
So it's plodding on with the main story missions, really. Nothing really more to add to it than what I've already mentioned. There's been no big updates since I've last played it, which I thought there might have been, because I know with Division 2 they was doing a lot of weekly updates, but there's not really been anything on this one. Just plodding on with the story missions. It's a long-ass game, and the geographical area in the game is huge. I've just... one of the story missions I've got to now is where I'm going down to a little island off the coast of a main island, what you're on. So I've never been there before, so the terrain's different and the environment's different, so that's a nice change to experience in the game. Now I'm a higher level, and my gear score's quite high. I'm not switching weapons as much as when you sort of like if you're first playing.
Right.
So when you're first playing the game, you're constantly finding weapons what are higher level, equipment what's higher level, and you're constantly switching out your gear in your inventory. So I'm not having to do that as much now, which is good, really. Just plodding on.
Okay, yeah. No, I do like the terrain aspect of Breakpoint. And that is, you know, climbing a hill affects you. You can't just run up the hill. Your speed gets slowed down. You have to be careful of your footing. You can fall and slide down a hillside if you're not being careful, which I like. I think it adds some kind of realism to it. And if you set it up on the difficulty mode, the harder difficulty mode, you know, when you fall, you take damage. Yeah. You could hurt your leg, that kind of thing. And if you don't immediately heal, you'll have like a limp to yourself, that kind of thing, where you have to make sure you heal your leg up.
Yeah, the only way to heal that is to actually use a proper med pack or syringe or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a neat little touch. I think, I heard you guys talking about last week Ubisoft and the cancellation of a bunch of their games, or not cancellation, but the pushing of them out, and they were talking about the disappointment of the Division 2, comparatively speaking, and Breakpoint, how it didn't do as well. I think one of the big problems for these games is not even so much that they got released, you know, so close to the other, because I think that they were done about 2.5 years apart-ish, years apart.
Yeah.
But the problem was the previous games got supported for so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, the Division 1 was getting, you know, updates up until, you know, basically months right before the Division 2 came out.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah. I would say it's not long ago since I finished Wildlands.
Yeah. Yeah, it was constantly getting updates.
Yeah.
And still getting, updates all the way up until launch. So I think the player base that really liked those games, they were getting served, right? Yeah. They were getting content. They were in those games. So then when these new games came out that by and large felt very similar, with tweaks, mind you, but they felt similar enough that people are like, I just spent another $60 on a game that, you know, it's basically the same game. And that word of mouth is rapidly spread to where, you know, people are like, I'm not going to bother getting these new games because honestly, the old game is just as good and it's out. I already paid for it, so why don't I just keep playing that game?
I think this is different enough compared to Wildlands and Division, because Division 1 and 2, the enemies are all bullet sponges. These, if you hit the enemies right, you can one-shot them. Like I was just playing it earlier this evening, doing a few missions before getting ready for the podcast. And I just love the gunplay in this game. It's not realistic, but it's as realistic as what you'd expect a shooting game to be. Right. Especially with the quality of the AI in this, because you can shoot them in the leg, they'll drop a little bit and then stagger down, and then you can finish them off, or if you just get a headshot, that's it, it's game over instantly. Apart from the guys with the helmets, where you have to shoot the helmet and you can hear the helmet ping off and shoot them again in the head, and that's it, they're gone. The gunplay is so good in this game, in my view. That's what does it for me.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm with you. I mean, I also like third person shooters. I do like just the visually how the game looks. So, I'm not disappointed that we got Breakpoint at all. I do like the game. I do feel it offers enough to somebody that liked the original Wildlands to go to this game. But I certainly can understand how a lot of people were like, no, you know what? I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
Or not feeling the need to get the new game because the old game still had so much content. So that's the double-edged sword, right, for Ubisoft, is that they have been servicing these games so well, it's been actually to a detriment of some of these new titles. Anything else, Mark, on your end?
On my end, cue Kim's laughter. What else have I? Oh, no, just put Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Yeah, Breakpoint and Call of Duty.
Okay.
That's all I've been playing.
All right.
Like I said, I finished the campaign. Really enjoyed the campaign. Some really good moments in it. Some good set pieces. Like we've already mentioned, the voice acting, the animation, the facial animations, top notch. Really good production.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that leaves me. So we already talked about Call of Duty. We already talked to After Party. But I do have something to talk about. So when I went to EGX in London, we came across this booth that was selling magazine subscriptions, and part of the attraction for subscribing up to, and I think you got a choice, but Edge was one of them, you could get a controller included with it. And they had three different options on controllers. One was an Xbox One, one was a PlayStation 4 one, and then there was a Nintendo Switch kind of pro-style controller. And so as I was looking at the controllers, I thought, well, one, I wanted to get a PlayStation 4 controller because I wanted to play PlayStation Now on PC, because that's a thing. But you have to have a PS4 controller to do that. They explicitly said that, so I was like, okay, I'm going to get this Onyx controller because also I hate the even thumbsticks that the DualShock 4 has. It's the dumbest design ever. But the Onyx controller had the offset thumbsticks, and I was like, bingo, perfect. So I select the Onyx PlayStation 4 controller, and I get home, hook it all up. Lo and behold, this is a kind of an exclusive controller that they built out, and I think just for some of these like promotional things, they have zero PC driver support for this controller. All of the other Onyx controllers, they have PC driver support for, but not this controller. So suddenly, I'm like, ah, crap. I have a magazine subscription coming. That's the good news. But I don't have a controller.
Don't the drivers for your controllers work at all? Then? Have you tried them?
No. No. It only works on a PlayStation 4. Literally only on a PlayStation 4.
Shit.
Terrible.
Yeah. So I ended up buying a $30 third-party controller that also has offset sticks on the PS4. Just to show you. So this is... Ta-da!
Yeah.
So, but it's offset sticks.
It looks weird seeing offset sticks on a PlayStation controller.
But it's the right thing to do.
I don't mind it, really. I got used to it.
You should. It's communism. anyway, so I got the controller. I hooked it up to my PC. It works, so that's the good news. They had PC drivers. I made sure of that this time. And I subscribed up to PlayStation Now. I did the 7-day trial, which wasn't the smartest move on my part because I did it like 2 days before I went traveling. So I got to play some God of War. So two things. Yes, exactly. So PlayStation Now, the service, talking about that. There is some lag. There is some clunkiness to it. And I don't know. It could be my controller. Now, I'm not going to deny that because it is a third-party controller. Maybe, you know, the sensitivities on it are such that it just doesn't get on with it all that well. But I notice, like, the camera angles at times get a little, like, wonky. Like, it feels very extreme. Like, you push left on the stick and it kind of doesn't go for a second, and then it wildly goes pretty far. And so you have to just be mindful of it. Makes combat a little tricky in an action game. And more so, it makes traversal a little more challenging at times. But overall, PlayStation Now looks good. The visual quality, I didn't have a problem with. Audio, it all seems like it works fine. Like I mentioned before, there is a little bit of lagginess, so I wouldn't want to try and play a super fast Twitch game through this service. But I will also say, in fairness, I was test driving xCloud out from the airport on the Wi-Fi at the airport. Also, not necessarily the most ideal setup. And I don't know how strong their Wi-Fi was, so it could be that they just had a slow connection speed. But it definitely, on the Wi-Fi at the airport and using a 4G connection, I didn't find it particularly the most fast response situation. So that differs from when I've been home on my computer when I first was testing things out, like with Stadia. I didn't feel all that much lag with playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So I don't know. Maybe this is the leg up for Stadia. Who knows? But the streaming service is okay, not great.
Sarah's got a question for you. So
yes.
On the PS4, you can actually download the games now. So were you playing on PC? Did you have to only have the option to stream, or could you download?
Yeah, I think it is stream only. You cannot download the game. But and that's partly because on PlayStation Now, I think, and I could be wrong, the only way you can download the game is if you own the game.
All right.
So on PS Now, although maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong because maybe the subscription allows for that. You just have to have the subscription active. But either way, I did not download it. I just was playing it through the stream. I wanted to kind of experience it in its native form, and also, you know, the way I was looking at it was this might be something I would be doing, like, maybe on the road. I've got my laptop with me, I fire a PlayStation Now, hook my controller up, and I play a game. So it works. It's not horrible. Not ideal,
right? So apart from the PlayStation Now part of it, what do you think of God of War? And be careful here, because...
No, I don't have to be careful. So God of War looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The action combat is really good. I think a lot of the changes they've made to this third-person view for God of War. And I say third-person view, I mean, before it was kind of the pulled back far away view, kind of isometric, if you will, for God of War. Yeah. Now you're in the, and I'll call it the Uncharted view for comparison's sake. So I think that was smart. I think it makes the game feel more meaty. You know, there's just it like when you hit something and you hit it hard, it feels like you feel it. There's just more emphasis with it in this viewpoint. So I like all of that. The story, quite honestly, fuck God of War. I cannot stand Kratos. Is the fucking dumbest character in the world, and I honestly cannot stand the dialogue between him and his son, because his son comes across. No, I don't think it does. His son comes across like a fucking scholar, and Kratos comes across like a fucking knuckle dragging gorilla.
He is.
No, he really isn't. And also, the other part of it. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say anymore. I'll play more. It's not, you know, I don't totally hate the game. I do hate listening to them. I do. Legitimately hate listening to the cutscenes.
I thought that was great. The banter between them and
he's a shallow character.
Yeah, and you can see Kratos holding back his emotions because he doesn't want to look weak in front of him and stuff. Yeah.
No, he doesn't hold back emotions at all. He has no emotions. He's just an emotionless shell of a person. And he treats his son like he's dirt. And I get it. They're trying to kind of create keep the persona of Kratos going. But it just does not at all, to me, come across as very authentic or convincing to me. This just feels ham-fisted. I mean, I might as well be watching a Bollywood movie. It's just not good to me. It's not good. Sorry, PlayStation fans. I like the gameplay.
Yeah.
I enjoy killing monsters. I love the axe and shield play. And just the systems they built into the game are great.
Mm.
And so from that standpoint, God of War is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But if I had to watch the cutscenes of this game only, I would turn it off.
Oh, I loved the story on this. So I take it you've done the battle with the Mystery Stranger guy?
That was epic.
You can't say it was a good battle.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good battle.
Yeah.
It was frustrating at times. I died a number of times. I was like, all right, yeah. we'll keep plowing away at this.
Yeah.
And that's actually where I just left off. I just finished beating him.
Yeah.
And then the story's after that. That's a tutorial area.
You've not even touched the game yet. So like Sarah's just put in the chat, if finish the game, then let us know what you think. Because you might change your mind.
I doubt it, but you never know. Maybe God of War. Maybe Kratos is gonna learn a few new words. That would be exciting.
Boy,
exactly. If I have to listen to "boy" one more time,
boy,
exactly. Anyway, I mean, doesn't his kid have a name? For fuck's sake, you're his father. Call him by his name,
boy.
Jesus. Exactly. Dog, boy. You can only go around that. That's what I'm just going to wife, dog, boy. We'll see how long that lasts.
there's a character later on in the game who you meet and he becomes a companion with you. He's brilliant. I love that character. I won't give any spoilers, but yeah.
Maybe there's hope for that.
Mimir, I think he's called. Yes, yeah, brilliant. Right. So yeah, but it changes up the dialogue and the interactions between them all, and it'll probably... It injects more humor, so you might start enjoying the dialogue more.
I will look forward to that. Yeah. If that happens,
yeah.
All right. But Mark, my challenge to you is I want you to go for a solid 3 days. Only 3 days. I'm not going to make you go the week. But all you get to do when you talk to Jenny and or your dog...
wife.
Is
boy.
Wife and dog. And Jay, if he comes in, you call him boy.
Yeah.
That's all you get. The only names you get to use...
Yeah.
See how long that lasts.
Just put my hand on Jenny's shoulder and go, wife.
Exactly. There you go.
Mm.
All right. That's it for Games Played. Let us move on. We don't have a quiz. We do have some news.
I've been a slack ass. I haven't done one. news. Right, hang on. I'm on the wrong page.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so news. A couple news stories happening this past week. So we pulled these out. So production is finally starting for the Halo TV series. So this is going to be done by Showtime. Showtime announced production on the game-based show is about to begin. They finally have the cast all set. So they basically kind of buttoned everything up to where they're like, now we can actually start shooting the show. And it's set to release early 2021. They also revealed three new cast members. So they have Danny Sapini from Doctor Who and The Last Jedi. He will play basically a dedicated military man, whoever that is. Jacob Keyes.
Dedicated military man by the looks of it.
Jacob Keyes is the dedicated character. Then they have Olivia Gray from Fleabag and EastEnders. I'm not familiar with her, at least not from that, but she is playing UNSC Commander Dr. Miranda Keyes. And then we have Charlie Murphy of Peaky Blinders fame. Again, not really familiar, but he's playing Mackie.
Yeah. 20 of you still alive! You do not fuck with the Peaky fucking Blinders!
Sorry, it's a bit long, that was quality.
there you go. Okay. He's playing Mackie, and this is the interesting thing, an orphan raised by the Covenant that shares in their hatred of humans.
Ooh.
So that's an interesting twist we've never seen before in the Halo series. Yeah. It's in a sense kind of getting humans on their side, mm-hmm. so to speak. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Makes me kind of curious to see this show. So it's going to be a nine episode series, not 10. They did cut it down from 10 to 9. My guess is budget might have come into play there. which also has me kind of excited. That means that maybe these episodes are actually costing quite a bit of money, or they're at least budgeting for them to cost quite a bit of money. So they said, we can't do 10 under the overall budget. We'll do 9 and just make sure that these are polished. At least that's the hope. Cross fingers. Crossing fingers also, Death Stranding PC players were greeted by the welcome news just before its launch that the game was in fact coming to PC, and that was going to be coming out next year in the summertime. Then the raging debate became, where was it going to be coming to? Was it going to be on Epic Games Store? Was it going to be on Steam? The good news, it's both. We'll be on the Epic Store and the Steam Store at the same time. No exclusivity deals here. $60 or £55, depending upon where you live. You can enjoy UPS Man in the future. on the PlayStation front, we've seen some leadership change happen over the past month. We see more leadership change happening. They have announced two new moves. First was Herman Holst, who is the former head of Guerrilla Studio. He is now the head of Worldwide Studios, so he'll be tasked with making sure the PlayStation 5 has first-party games, and obviously the PlayStation 4 for its kind of final years. So he'll be in charge of that blockbuster lineup. And then veteran Shuhei Yoshida, always hard for me to say, he's kind of been missing. Like he was real prevalent at the start of PlayStation 4, and then he just disappeared. So much so at one point I thought he might have left the company.
Yeah. It's ever since Jack Tretton stepped down, and then we got with Sean Layden, and he seems to have taken a bit of a back seat, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's no longer taking a back seat. He is coming back to the forefront, so he will be tasked now with basically the new initiative around indie games. So he will be reaching out to indie developers, getting them on board with the PlayStation 5 platform. So good to see him back, though. I thought he is a good, colorful character in the PlayStation executive team. And quite honestly, they kind of need somebody like that, because I feel like ever since Jack Tretton left, and Shu was there for a while, and then he left or stepped back maybe into the shadows, it just didn't feel like the executives that they've had have been exciting. Real colorful, bright, and fun. Shuhei Yoshida is one of those kind of individuals. He does bring a lot of just energy mm-hmm. around gaming and PlayStation. It's genuine energy. So I'm excited for PlayStation. Also excited for Hideo Kojima fans, especially those fans of his 90-minute movies. I mean games. Hideo Kojima has said the new studio will venture into filmmaking. I don't think this is terribly shocking, because every game he's made has more and more felt like it had very film-like quality to it.
Yeah, like 5 hours worth of cutscenes if you stitch them all together.
But he was quoted in an interview with the BBC, and a couple key quotes here. One, he said, if you can do one thing well, then you can do everything well, which... personally, I question that because I don't think that's accurate. Absolutely don't think that's true.
I'm good at fixing vehicles, but I'm not good at figure skating. So, no, that don't really work.
Mark, apparently, if you're good at fixing vehicles, you should be good at figure skating. So get on it.
Yep.
But the real quote was, in the future, Kojima Productions will start making films. He did not elaborate on it. He just made that statement and kind of left it there. So we don't know, in a sense, kind of how this is going to impact game making, if it will be CGI or if it's going to be live action. My guess is CGI, just because that's what he's been doing with all of his game cutscenes. But it would be interesting to see him try and do live action. Could be interesting. So something to look forward to. I can't imagine we're seeing anything from them in the next couple of years when it comes to the film side, unless they make just a movie out of all the cutscenes of, say, Death Stranding, and just string them all together and have just a full-length feature film. All right, that's it for news. So anything's we're done possible. There. Yeah, it's true. That's true. Kim.
Yes.
We've got games coming up on the horizon.
We do. As in, we do indeed.
New release. Still more games coming, people.
There is.
So walk through it.
Not sure they're good games, but then I don't know. Your games for November 9th through the 16th are Romancing Saga 3. Okay. For the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PlayStation Vita, and PC. And that's on November 11th. Yaga for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and iOS on the 12th. Age of Empires 2, Definitive Edition for the PC on the 14th. Stormland for the Rift, also on the 14th. Estronir for the PlayStation 4 on the 15th. And for you Pokemon fans, we have Pokemon Shield and Pokemon Sword for the Switch on the 15th as well. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 15th. And Woven for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC also on the 15th as well. And those are your new releases.
Exciting. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I'm cautiously optimistic for this game.
Yeah.
Been reading some stuff on it. I mean, it's a single player only game. Respawn Entertainment. I loved the Titanfall 2 campaign. So I hope they hit this one out of the park. I think EA needs they need a winner right now.
Yes.
For sure. So we'll see. Don't forget, if you are part of EA Access, you should be getting, you know, at least 5 hours. Sometimes they cut it down. Usually it's 10 hours. Right. But sometimes for single player only games, five only.
Yeah.
So just know you'll have access to this game. You'll be able to play it and get a sense for it. Exciting times.
Nice.
There we go.
Indeed.
All right. Mark, why don't I have you walk through Victories Achieved, since I've been doing all the talking and you've been quietly just pushing buttons.
Victory Achieved, it's our quarterly competition where you can win real money. You can win £15 or $20 for PlayStation, Xbox, or PC. What do you have to do to get that money? All you have to do is, when you finish a game, you take a screenshot selfie with you with the credits in the background to show that you finished it, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast. And then Robin will retweet that and add a few little pictures, like on my Modern Warfare one, he put me a nice little hat on and he put a little chicken in the background. So I've got an obsession with chickens at the moment. And then that, when you get that retweet, you know you've been put into the draw. And we've had three winners this year. And we had Sarah, RCGC, who won in March. Dave O'Mac won in June. And Scott Stubby won the last one in September. So we have three winners this year. One is to be drawn at the end of December. And all these people are going to be entered. So Callowern M, he finished The Outer Worlds. There's going to be a bit of a pattern here now. Ra Finch, 1983, finished Modern Warfare. I finished Modern Warfare. Colin Alcars finished Modern Warfare. OC _ Murphy's Law finished Modern Warfare. Amasikun_Tick, that's a new name. Welcome.
Yeah.
Finished Modern Warfare. Dave O'Mac finished Batman Arkham Asylum Remastered. And Fletch 90 finished Transistor. So well done to everyone who finished games, and you win this extra special sound.
You all have a Victories Achieved! Victories Achieved! You have one! Victories Achieved!
And Game Over UK has joined us in the chat, and I would just like to say, tequila!
Yes. Also, Game Over, we are definitely due some Modern Warfare time. We are not avoiding you, I promise.
Yeah, we were in a full party when he tried inviting us, and it was our last game as well, which didn't help.
Yeah, so. I think, though, when we're done here tonight, we might jump on for a game or two. Mark, just saying. Kim, just saying.
I did the podcast. Anyway, go.
Sacrifice has to be made, Mark. All right. If you are part of the conversation, you can tune in every Sunday. Twitch.tv, Mixer.com, YouTube. We are on at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. the West Coast, 4 p.m. the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. If you're out there, just get on with it. Tune us in. If you're waking up in Melbourne this morning, and you're thinking, what should I do? You should be watching us. Have a cup of coffee and watch the show. We do put forward our podcast on audio, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube even. Give us a review. If you've been watching this and you haven't given us a like before, or you haven't given the show a like right now, but you're watching it live, do it. It's an easy click of the button. Just that's my mouse sound. We have clubs, we have communities. Look, we like playing with our community members, except for apparently Hards. But we even played with Pilch. He didn't talk, mind you. No, not a word out of Pilch.
Not a squeak out of him. No, yeah. babble. None of that.
Although it made him seem very nice again. I'm just saying. Not one sarcastic thing came out of his mouth.
No, but, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, get on with it. Look us up. We've got clubs all over the place, whether you're on console, you're on PC, Discord. I mean, apparently that's the future. Who knew? We've got places for you to connect with us. Mark, we also have a special audio message we always want to make sure people listen to.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Boy.
Well done.
I thought you'd appreciate it. Huh, Greg?
No, Nicole's voice gets so deep at the end of that. It's amazing. All right, we are at the time where we do shout outs. Kim, I would like you to go first, and I would love for you to shout out everybody who might have just swung on by, even if they're maybe, you know, at automated AI. Who knows?
All right, we can do that. All righty, I'm going to shout out our shatters. We have Rain God Zippo, Scott Stubby, Rob VTS, RCGC, Sarcastic Pilch, Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, Lurks, and Game Over UK. So thanks for stopping by and keeping the chat jumping. So,
yeah. Cheers.
Or
cheers
not if that. You're a bot. So, you know, you just kind of didn't, but whatever. So, yeah. Let's see. I want to shout out my Extra Life donors. Let me pull my phone back up here because I got a list of those on here as well. And here's my list. We have Mike Breschler, Gary Harris, Jesse Spencer, Matt M. Power 343, Bennett Seacrest, Robin Tate, Mark Wright, Greg DeLacy, Pete Chin, Daniel Fletcher, Louis Raimondo, and of course Anonymous. So thank y'all for donating and putting me over my total. I'm now at $300, which I'm pretty tickled with. So thanks. And shout out to Mother Nature. We're supposed to get down to 11 degrees this week. I'm not looking forward to it. And we're supposed to get over an inch of snow. If you could bring the 80 degree temperatures back, I'd love you long time. So, I guess that's it for me. How about you there, Mark?
Everyone we've played Call of Duty with past few days, well, past week. There's quite a lot here, so if I forget your name and I don't mention it, I apologise. But there's been Sarah, RCGC, there was Pilch, DJ, I'm Black Thunder, John Mouse, and our usual podcast crew, Greg, Kim, me and Robin. Have I missed anyone there, Greg? Who else have we played with?
Is that it? I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Who have we played with on Call of Duty?
Pilch, John Mouse, Sarah. Set up. Yep. I'm just recanting.
I just want to make sure I don't miss anyone.
DJ.
Yep.
DJ.
Yep, mention him. Yep.
Robin Tate.
Yeah.
Sorry, Robin Tit. Kim Woods at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brennan.
Oh, yeah, Bronco. Yeah, mate, Chris, yeah. So I did miss someone, yeah. So, so if you see any of us online playing Call of Duty, just either drop in, or if you can't join us automatically, send us a message. It will get you in after the next round. Happy to play with any community members. It's the more the merrier, so, yeah. I want a massive shout-out to Rob VTS, who is in the States at the moment, because he's getting married in Vegas very soon. He's currently at Alcatraz at the moment, Greg, not far from you. So he's on about leaving his girlfriend in one of her cells.
Yeah, he's doing the Mike Chin tour.
Yeah, he is.
That's what I call the Mike Chin tour.
Yeah,
start off in jail.
Robin did that as well.
Yeah,
massive congrats to Rob getting married. A massive, huge shout-out to Pete. He's had some bad news this weekend, so just want him to know that we're all thinking of him and we're all here for him if he ever wants to talk. So love you, Pete, and we're here for you. And
indeed,
let you take us out, Greg.
All right. Well, I am going to start off by saying thank you to both of you. Always a blast podcasting with you guys. We always have a good time. So thank you for joining us. Thank you to everybody in the chat box. We do appreciate everybody coming in, listening to the show live, giving us some stick feedback, questions, the whole nine yards. It's a community thing. And that's what I love about this whole VG Hub group. I also want to shout out Mother Nature and my wife. My wife, most importantly, because we hear her in the background. I want to shout out Mother Nature because she has blessed us with fantastic weather, and she's blessed me with fantastic weather anywhere I've traveled. So in the UK, I brought sunshine and nice weather. It only rained basically about an hour when I was in the UK. Outside of that, it was always nice.
Well, this week we've had floods in South Yorkshire.
Well, you know,
it's been that bad, and it's fucking freezing.
Invite me back.
Yeah.
Invite me back. I'll make it sunny.
Yeah.
It's been 79 degrees the entire week here, and it's going to be 79 the entire week next week.
They just did.
For those in the UK, that's 26 degrees.
I need to move.
Sunshine,
just
beautiful.
Just fucking aim.
Yeah, I know. So shout out to Mother Nature. You're doing it right on this side. I want to shout out Extra Life again. Huge thank you to everybody who donated, who participated. Shout out to everybody who just came in and played games with us during that time as well.
For sure.
You know, that's one of those things where it was amazing to me because Extra Life this year was the easiest. Honestly, I thought back about it. I was like, this was the easiest Extra Life I've ever had. And that
it went really quick, didn't it? It went so quick.
It went quick. We had constant people playing games with us. It never felt like a slog. Even all the way up until that last hour, it was easy. So big thumbs up on that. And, of course, Pete, yes, hearts are with you. So, I won't say anything more than that. You know what I will say, Mark?
Yeah.
Play that music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.